And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And of course, Marah means bitter. A lot of repetition there, but I think you understand what it means. And when they came to Marah, in their mind, something, you know, as this is written, this is something that's already been established. So there, as it came to Marah, that's when we started calling it Marah, because it was bitter. Verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he prayed, there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." We see here the God who heals, Jehovah Rapha. As we look at this name, we understand that in this world we live in a dying world. We live in a world where great vast pools of water like this can be spoiled. It's hard to come across some fouled water. It smells nasty. It's disgusting. Back when we were living in Flat Rock, we lived in a duplex a couple doors down from Danielle's parents. In the backyard, you know, our backyard neighbors, you know how that goes, they had a pool that they never maintained nor took care of. That thing always had mosquitoes. Somehow some frog spawn got in there. So you would just hear this symphony, this choir of frogs. You'd get too close to that fence line. Here'd come the mosquitoes. It was a very gross kind of a thing. And one time I think we were in the back along the fence doing some work and just kind of looked over and saw how nasty and went from being green to being brown. If you've got a green swimming pool, you've got a problem. You got a brown swimming pool, you've got a health hazard. And that's, you know, come up on these waters and oh, look at this giant body of water. Let's go get something to drink out of it. And if you've ever been thirsty, you understand. I mean, there were parts, they were walking, they had animals, children, they had the elderly with them, they had people who'd been carrying heavy things all day, and they come up to this water, and it was bitter or spoiled. Couldn't get anything out of it. And what does the Lord do? He shows an illustration to them. I can heal. In their mind, they were already remembering, and the Lord calls attention to it, how he had done the Egyptians. The Egyptian people, much like all people, started from the same folks. Started from Noah, who knew who God was and followed God and taught his family about God. They had been recipients of the grace of God. But by the time they got into that area, they abandoned God. Then they forgot God. And then they set up things to their own. They set up gods that they like, fancy gods, fun gods, gods we can make out of gold and we can worship our way. And they'd completely abandoned and rejected God. And in doing so, they enslaved his people. So what does God do? We know what he does. He visits these plagues. They're familiar with the God who brings judgment. They are familiar with the God who can bring pain and the God who can bring people into a subjection, who could harden a heart and then break that hardened heart. But what God wanted to remind them is that he's also the God who heals. And there's a lot of healing that we need in this cursed earth. We look immediately to just getting things right on the head, and that's the physical healing. There were many that the Lord had healed in his ministry. There's people that we know, that we have seen with diseases and illnesses and things like that, and we've prayed. And rapid healing took place, or miraculous healing, things that shouldn't have happened that happened. And we praise God for that. That is who he is. We read in the Bible, the woman with the issue of blood, the lepers, those with various diseases and hurts and pains, that Christ made right again. The people who never were able to walk, suddenly able to. The people who couldn't speak, they could tell their stories now. These are things that God has done, where he has healed our bodies.
We've often prayed for ourselves, haven't we? Lord, please take this cold away. Lord, help this pain in my leg. Help this, help that. And the Lord obliges so very often to give us the things that we need. He's even able to prevent us from things getting worse. God has a care for the healing of our body. As we see here, this great illustration of this river, what was wrong with it? It was fouled. And that's what happens. Sometimes we're fouled by bacteria, fouled by viruses, fouled by pain or fouled by injury. Things that have just ruined stuff. You know what I mean? It could be maybe an animal died and fell into the body of water and it was closed off and bacteria grew and parasites and things like that came into the water. Just gross. I knew a young man who his church took him on a missions trip. And you know how they tell you don't drink the water in certain areas? Well, they were down in the jungle and they said, don't drink the water. And they drank the water. And they came back with this, I can't remember what the name of it was called, but this waterborne illness. And he went from a healthy looking young man to sticks and bones. Ended up having to get out of school for it for a while. And, you know, we didn't know what was going on. Finally, I reached out to him. I said, hey man, how you doing? You okay? And he told me what was going on. I said, all right, well, we'll pray for you. We'll pray. And I believe the Lord healed him. Because the doctors are giving him medications after medications, and it was not killing this bug. I was able to kind of come back from that, and now he's doing well. But no, we see God's healing of the things that befoul us, right? You ever have, or maybe you've even been in that situation where you're feeling perfectly fine, except for one thing, right? Oh man, I'd be perfectly all right, brother, if my back didn't hurt. I'd be doing just fine if my knee was behaved the way that it should. Oh, I'd be doing just fine, but I tell you what, I don't have full range of motion on this arm anymore, and if I could just get that together, I'd be all right. There are small things that come in, and they are a bother to us. God is our healer. We bring those things to Him. Spending more time as I can with my family, especially since Dad's cancer diagnosis, and just spending time with the family. And you know what? I'm praying for my dad. I'm trusting that God will heal him. I don't know what God will do, but that is my request to the Lord. But I still tell my dad when I see him, all right, well, when's the next doctor's appointment? I believe the things that these doctors and scientists have come up with are gifts from God, right? They'll say, well, we have found this chemical within this plant, and if we do this to it and we do that to it, it is a very effective weapon against this illness. I praise God for giving us the tools for us to work with that. I praise God that He has given people minds to be able to come up with solutions and cures and medicines to help fix the things that are wrong with us. Right? Well, we made this medicine. We require these 17 different compounds from these 17 different sources. I praise God for giving us the sources. I praise God for giving us the people who do the discoveries and for the person who's taking the syringe and putting the stuff inside of us. Praise the Lord for that. We ought to be excited about that. We praise the Lord for wisdom that helps us stay away from certain things so we don't need medical intervention. Right? For what scientists have done, I praise the Lord for them. I know some scientists would be upset at me saying that. Well, no, it's all me. Well, where'd you get the stuff? Right? How is it that we came to understand that now? And how is it that you are made alive now and with the mind that you have that's able to have access to these things? If you were born 200 years ago, you never would have been able to come up with this. If you were born just at a slightly different time where if we haven't quite developed certain things, I believe God is giving us these scientific minds to help us with things. That's why I both pray, but I also believe in using every advantage that God has already given us as well. You know, well, was it the treatment or was it God? I think no matter which one it was God. Because God gives us the minds to come up with the treatment. God made me to be alive with this problem at a time where we had a cure for it or a treatment for it or a process for it. I think it's all part of God's wonderful plan. God is our healer. These eureka moments, I believe they are inspirations. These, aha, we figured it out. I think that these are gifts from God to us to help prolong our lives and to make things easier for us as we go down the way. There was a time when our science wasn't quite the way that it was, and it was God alone who brought healing, God alone who made us what we are. We see also, it's not just our physical aspect that God will heal. I've said this before, this is heavy among the poetic society, right? The people who not just philosophize about life, but they philosophize too heavily into the pain of life and make that a much bigger deal than what it is. So when something devastating happens, we come up with the phrase, I will never heal from this. Now, if what we're saying in that is, I will never be the same, I agree. We're on the same page. You'll never be the same. We learn to bear things. It'll still remain with us, but we will walk the way we have walked before, but just with something having been amputated from us, something terrible that's happened that we have learned to cope with. God has healed us in that aspect, right? The wound is closed. I've had to relearn how to live, relearn how to think, whatever have you, but I am able to go along with life again. That is what God does for us. He brings us joy again. He brings us peace again. I hope nobody here has ever been there, but I kind of believe maybe you have, where you sat there and you said, I will never feel joy again. I will never be happy again. I'm sure it happens. I can think of a few times in my life where I've sat there and said, man, this is who I am now. There will be no more joy going forward. And you know what? God proves us wrong and he brings us joy. The only time where it doesn't happen is when we refuse to turn to him and we refuse to do what he has asked of us to do. I've seen people grieve. And in the process of grieving, they take that time to cry. They kind of sequester themselves off to give them time to mourn. But they never open the windows again. They never go back out the door again. They just hide in the house and dwell on the loss. I've got a relative. It's my brother. He used to do this when he was a kid. He used to get cuts and scrapes. His cat used to scratch at him and bite him. And you know what he would do? He would take those wounds. He'd pick at him. And he'd pick at him and they'd get worse and worse and worse. Kid looked terrible. To the point where I think a teacher called the house more than once about these things, the sores that he would pick at on his arms. And that's what we do when we pick at it and pick at it and pick at it and pick at it. You know what you got to do? You got to let that stuff heal. You let that stuff heal. And how do we let that heal? Do we ignore it? No, that's how you get even worse. That's how things get infected. What do? You clean it up. Lord, please help me. Lord, I pray that you heal me. You put some of that salt, that salve on there. You put some of that Neosporin on there, whatever it is. You put some antibacterial cream in there, and you put that on, and what do? You cover it up. You make it nice and clean. You protect it from being hurt. You don't ignore it. You don't pretend it doesn't happen. You don't go along with the song. You turn to the Lord and ask for healing, and then you go out. And you do the reverse of everything your flesh is telling you to do. Stay in the dark. Don't talk to folks. Sequester yourself off. Stare at a screen for hours on end. These are all things that will depress you further. No, we need the things of God. We need connectivity. We need family. We need friends. And we see that the Lord gives us these things so very much, especially if you're a member of the church, a member of a church, you have people you can reach out to, people you can be a part of. That the Lord has given you that will help you heal. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me. That's what we need. We need to be in the presence of the Lord, both in this church and reading his word, in prayer. We need to be in his presence as often as possible. As often as we are physically capable to be. As much as we have time for. You know, some people, they've got very busy lives. Take the time. Take the time to be with the Lord. And I promise that busyness, whatever it is, will be better served. Better served. Those hours will be better served in your busyness if you take time away to be with the Lord And he can heal our spirit. He can heal not just a hurt spirit, but he can heal an angry spirit. Sometimes, you know, that anger, anger is like an irritated nerve, man. It just, it drives you nuts and it makes you impulsive, and the Lord can heal you from that. I wonder how much better this world would be if we would all together as the race of man stop when we are angry and pray instead and say, Lord, take from me this anger, draw it out of me. Help me to burn off this energy in one way or the other so that, Father, I would not go out and be a reproach in your name or to do something within my family that would cause a hurt spirit or a hurt heart. But that we would pray that way. I wonder how much better the world would really be. I think it would be so much more the better. We see that he doesn't only just heal the body or the spirit, but he can mend or repair things that are broken. Isaiah 30 verse 26, referring to the relationship between God and Israel, says, "Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound." Right? Hey, some allegorical conversation there. Hey, I tell you what, so much brighter will be the night and so much brighter will be the day when God mends the fences between us. When God mends what is broken between us, between the nation of Israel and God. And I'll tell you what, with Jesus Christ, that opening was open for all of us. For mankind all together to find that difference between us and him mended by what? His sacrifice. He healed the damage between God and man. Well, then how come God doesn't come down and walk with us anymore? Because there is still a lot of filth and still a lot of sin in this world, and God won't abide by it. God will have nothing to do with it. So we need to, again, be grateful for this mending because we, in the things that we do, are an offense to God. They're irritating to God, and we need to begin abandon these sins, abandon these ways of doing things so that that connection can grow even closer. We need not offend God, but instead be glad that the sin has been paid for. There's a mediator now between us and God, and he has bridged that gap because we are in trouble without him. We are in trouble without God. In this world, we find many needs for healing. In this world, we find many things that are broken and in disarray. I know that God, the Israelites were his chosen people. But I tell you what, I look back at our country and God has blessed. We were talking about this on Friday. God has blessed our country. It really has. When the world gets into trouble, whose pockets do they come poking around in? Ours. Why? Because we've got pockets to do so with. Why is it that they come and they tap us on the shoulder for military strength? Because we have the military strength to borrow. We do. We were talking about, well, how could Ukraine stand up against Russia? Because they're borrowing our stuff to do it. Right? They're getting it from us. When it comes down to innovations, discoveries, and amazing things like that, they come from us. Where is it that people like the Saudi Arabians and India, and where is it that they're sending their people to come for an education? They're sending them here. Why? Because we've got the educational structure to take them in and teach them. And we do. We benefit from it. We used to get Westland and Southfield, we used to get a lot of people from India. India would pay for their young people to come to our colleges and work in our facilities. And you would see them come in and they would stay for 4 years and they would get their education. They would go home and many of them you would see come back. I can't tell you how many times I was putting somebody's name into the computer to run a background check and their previous stay popped up and said, "Hey, you were here 4 years ago." Yeah, that was when I got my education. I went home and I worked for a while because that's the contract. They'll pay if I come over here, then I got to go work over there. Now every now and then somebody I used to work for will hire me to come out for 6 months or so, and I figured I'd just come back to where I stayed before. Why do they do that? Because we've got the facilities to do so. God has blessed this country. Now, I tell you what, we're asking for a whooping. That's what we're doing. We're asking for a whooping. We are absolutely asking for God to smite us for the things that we are doing. And we got to knock that off. But I believe that if this country is going to heal, the hatred, the bigotry, the classism, the crimes being committed in the political level, the crimes being committed on the street, if we want those things to change, if we want churches to quit their sin and come alive again, if we want to see revival take place among God's people, it's got to be the Lord who does it. I believe that it is the Lord who can heal the church. I believe that it is the Lord who can heal the nation, who can heal the addict, who can heal the criminal, who can heal the person who's just insufferable to deal with. God can heal us as a nation. But we've got to come to Him. We've got to bow to Him. We've got to be one of His. And so many people are hesitant. Oh no, why would I give up the thrill of a moment to have a better life? Why would I surrender these things that do nothing for me? For me to sit there and go to church on Sunday and have to read my Bible and pray and live that kind of life. Why would I do that? Well, I tell you why. Because the things that come from serving the Lord outlast and surpass anything you get from this world. And of course, we know there is even a greater healing. Psalm 103 verse 3. Psalm 103 verse 3. Not just the body, not just the mind, not just us as a nation, but Psalm 103 verse 3 says, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." He forgives all of our iniquities. And through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's able to forgive our sins. That's what we are. We're a broken creation, a beautiful creation. God made us perfect. I absolutely hate what happens inside of cathedrals, but I have seen some beautiful cathedrals. You ever been inside a cathedral? Just walking through the painted glass, the architecture, the designs, just the beautiful things that are done in there. And you walk through and everything's a work of art. The whole place, just it's a museum in and of itself of beautiful artistry. And of course, back in World War II, when so much bombing was going on, you see pictures online of cathedrals and beautiful places like that that had a bomb dropped on it, and just the shattered glass and the bent frames and the rubble that laid all over the place from the broken brick and stone is sad. And in many ways, that's what we are. God created us perfect. God created us without the knowledge of sin. There was never an argument between Adam and Eve before sin. There was never any lies being told between husband and wife before sin. There was no corruption. There was no cheating at things. There was no theft. There was nothing. Everybody had all the two of them had all things common, right? Hey, you pick that fruit. I'll go get the bananas and we'll come together and have lunch. There was nothing for us to sin with. There was nothing for us to sin for. And we didn't even know how it was to sin. And it was just happiness. And in the cool of the day, God would come down and walk with Adam. And oh, what great jubilation it was. But after we sinned, it's like a bomb went off inside of us. There was shame. Shame is a terrible feeling. And I agree with Brother Dennis. You can't shock and awe people into salvation. You can't shame them into salvation. There's a lot of people who'll do that. They'll get right up into somebody's face. They'll call them names. They'll beat them half to death with the Bible. Walk away snorting and stomping. And I'm glad Jesus didn't preach that way. He opened a door. And yeah, He pushes us through it. But man, He doesn't have to knock me out to do it. Our God is a gentle God. But all the same, you know, shame came in. What a terrible thing to have to feel. And again, you don't feel shame because you worried about what other people think about you. I know that that's what we're thinking. Oh no, what will other people think? The real reason why we feel shame is because we know we did something we weren't supposed to do. Or didn't do something we were supposed to do. The other person being there to see it. Or the preacher up in the pulpit to say it. That's not what causes shame. It's because you know you did something wrong. Right? Anybody here this morning, you ate breakfast? Now, you ate breakfast, you know you did the right thing. So if I sat there and found out that you ate breakfast, would you feel bad about that? No, anybody here, you took a shower in the last couple days? Took a shower in the last couple days? You don't feel any shame me finding out you took a shower. Some of you don't like to raise your hands, but I know you took a shower in the last couple days. You don't feel any shame in me knowing that, do you? Anybody here, you get into an argument over the last week? See, now that'd bother you, wouldn't it? Now, is it my fault for bringing up the argument? Is it my fault for knowing about the argument? And am I causing you the shame? Or did you do something you weren't supposed to do, and now you feel something? Shame doesn't come because somebody tells you you've done something wrong. Shame comes because you already know you've done something wrong, and it is a heavy thing. It is no fun. Guilt comes. Guilt's terrible, too. I hate guilt. Absolutely hate guilt. I like to get things right as soon as I can. I called somebody one time, 12:30 at night, didn't even know if they were going to be up or not, called them because I said something I didn't think I should have. I don't like guilt. I like to take care of it pretty quick. No, we are healed of these things. The destruction that took place within us when sin entered into the world, the destruction that's inside of us, shame, guilt, anxiety, fear, all these things that God did not build us for. Right? And that's why people get so sick with this stuff. That's why it's such a problem in our world. It arrests you. It shuts you down. It stops you from being able to work properly. Stops you from being able to be who you think you should be. It'll depress you. It'll wear you out to where you're running out of energy. Your body will begin to get sick depending on certain levels of anxiety. I knew somebody one time, anytime they'd start to get too anxious, they'd just start to shake. And they'd turn bright red and their words would start to mumble and they would have a really hard time with it. This stuff affects you physically. So what do? We need to get things right, right? We need to find ways. Hey, listen, maybe you're doing something for the first time and these things set in, these hyper emotions set in. What do? Lord, help me. And we go to Him and He gives us the strength to be able to handle those things. Gives us the strength and calmness to us. Man, I have been there where I couldn't get my mouth to work and I couldn't get my knees to stand straight. Just a mess. And I was still nervous and I was still anxious throughout the entirety of the ordeal, but God gave me peace and God gave me calmness that I didn't have at the beginning. We know that God can heal us of our sin and heal us from the things our sin nature has brought us. Right? You don't have to sin to be anxious. You don't have to sin to be nervous. You don't have to sin to be worried. You don't have to sin to do these things. They're things that come upon us because of sin nature. Because of this new frailty, this brokenness that has entered onto man. He can heal those things. He can take away our sin and justify us. Make it though as though we had never sinned, making us qualified and allowed to go to heaven when we die. We can never forget that none of heaven, none of God's attention, we don't deserve any of those things. We've spat in His eye so often. We don't deserve that grace. We don't deserve that mercy. But He gives it to us. So in that, we are healed in the most ultimate way possible. If every church but one or two apostatizes and falls away and God doesn't heal them, you'll still have your salvation. You'll still be the one standing there. You'll still be the one serving Him. If the nation falls aside and God does harshly against our nation, we as God's people will still stand. We as God's people will still have His protection and His care. If the world continues on its path and God must do something awful to it, we will still be under His watchful eye. We are healed in the most ultimate way possible. And that we are not just healed, we are adopted children unto Him. Children that He cares for, children that He loves. We had my mom and dad and my brother over for dinner yesterday. And it is just kind of funny. We got all the food set up, and it was kind of like all of us, you know, my mom, dad, Danielle, and I were both trying to make food for the kids. I think Melody ended up with two plates. You know, who's I got to play for Mel. You got to play. Oh, okay. Right. Everybody wanted to take care of the kids first. Why? Because that's the kids. You take care of them, right? That's how the Lord sees us. Those are mine. They belong to me. Jesus says, my blood paid for them. My blood washed them, made them new, brand new creatures. They are mine. I love them. I care for them. And that is the greatest of healings one could imagine. That our own sin, our own scars, can look as though nothing happened in the eyes of our God. And the Bible goes on so far as to say that He removes them from Himself as far as the east is from west. God forgets our sins. I wish there's some sins I've committed I wish I could forget. Anybody, I bet if I ask you guys, yep, there's some things I did I wish I could forget. God, you might never forget. God already forgot. And the Lord Himself says, no. That's been paid for. When the devil comes up to rail accusations, oh no, that's paid for. I know what they are. They're rascals. I know what they are. They're impulsive. I know what they are, but I love them. And to me, we have been healed, and God is the source of our healing. So when we say Jehovah Rapha, we must know who He is. He is the God that heals. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, You are referred to as Jehovah Rapha some 60 plus times in the Old Testament. But Father, we never fail to see the multiple times Your Son is doing just the same in the New Testament. Lord, You have not changed, nor can You. And Lord, we praise You for Your awesomeness and Your kindness to us. Lord, we do not deserve to receive what it is that You have. But Lord, I just pray this, that You help us to call into remembrance. And Lord, show others to where they can get that same healing. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.